Hi, I'm Elodie Reed, digital producer for Vermont Public Radio. This podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. According to the latest Vermont Health Department official statistics for 2017, 678 people in Vermont are living with HIV. Most of them are managing the disease, keeping their viral loads very low, which means although they still have HIV, it's basically undetectable in the bloodstream. That suppresses the virus and, as the National Institutes of Health puts it, makes HIV a manageable chronic condition, as well as nearly eliminating the risk of passing the virus on to a sexual partner, as long as antiretroviral medication is taken exactly as prescribed. But there are still new cases of HIV every year, 18 officially tallied in Vermont in 2017. And it turns out that young people are at particular risk of not knowing how to prevent or effectively test for and treat HIV infections. 20% of new HIV diagnoses around the country, again in 2017, were among young people between the ages of 13 and 24. Every year, the Winter is a Drag Ball at Higher Ground in South Burlington attempts to break people out of the cold weather doldrums, with proceeds benefiting what has been known as the Vermont People with AIDS Coalition. This year marks the 25th Winter is a Drag Ball, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later in the show. But we wanted to take the occasion to talk as well about what it's like to live in Vermont with HIV, especially if you're young. Johnny Shagnon is the Health and Wellness Coordinator for GLAM Vermont. GLAM is a Pride Center of Vermont program that works with young gay, bi, and trans guys and offers HIV resources and education. Johnny also serves on the board of the Vermont Positive Living Coalition. Hi, Johnny. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And David Schein is Executive Director of that same organization, the Vermont Positive Living Coalition. You may know it better as the Vermont People with AIDS Coalition, and it's actually officially changing its name to the Vermont Positive Living Coalition this weekend at the Winter is a Drag Ball. David, thank you for being with us today, too.
It's a great pleasure, and thank you for having us.
Oh, we're very pleased to talk with you both. And Johnny, I want to start with you and talk with you for a few minutes to talk about this question of young people living with HIV, which is something that I think often gets overlooked, and as we see from some of the CDC stats, is overlooked in terms of how people are educated and prevention and access to resources. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, 20% of new diagnoses around the country were in emerging and young adults, very young people between the ages of 13 and 24. But also gaps in awareness, education, and resources suggest that the actual number could be significantly higher than that within that young population. You were diagnosed with HIV in 2013 when you were 26 years old, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that and what that was like?
Yeah. So I'm originally from Burlington, Vermont. But when I was diagnosed, I was in Phoenix, Arizona. And there, honestly, like I was diagnosed at a large center. There were a lot of like resources there, but it was very much like it was like a corporation almost type of feel. I felt very alone, and that's what made me decide to move back to Vermont. I just wanted to be around like a more, you know, my friends, my family, all that good stuff. And honestly, like the healthcare system here is just so amazing in Vermont, especially for people living with HIV. I go to the UVM Medical Center, and it's very much like one-on-one care there. I've been very impressed with the work that they do there and all that good stuff. However, looking at, you know, the things outside of my medical care, so the stigma and just living as a gay man in Vermont, there's so much more to deal with, I think, here than I did like in Phoenix. So like in more in bigger cities, there's a lot of people who are very much out about their status, and there's a lot of education around HIV. But here in Vermont, it's really not talked about, and most people living with HIV that I know of are not out about their status. So,
yeah, that number when you talk about Vermonters, that the official stats from 2017 that show 678 Vermonters known to be living with HIV, mm-hmm. that's a significant number of people, and certainly if you're one of them, it absolutely feels significant, but in terms of the actual numbers, it's so small to be able to feel like there's a support network or, you know, to sort of have this sense of this is a community. I mean, it's difficult when you're one of very few to decide whether you want to disclose your status or not and to feel perhaps like you have some community support, particularly if you're not living in Burlington, I would imagine.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a very different experience living in Burlington versus the rest of the state as well, because there's even less education out there. Part of what I do and what I decided to do when I moved back to Vermont was really try to change that and get that education out there. Because honestly, like, my life as an HIV positive person is really not that different from anyone else's. I'm going to have a normal lifespan as long as I stay on my medication. I'm undetectable. I'm not going to be transmitting the virus as long as I stay on that medication. There's that conversation that I have to have with people. Like, when I come out about my status, often I have to completely educate them on it. Like, people ask me questions like, am I going to get HIV from sharing a cup with you? Or, like, is
still.
It transmitted? Yeah, still. I still get those questions here in Vermont, which is, like, I didn't really see that in a bigger city because there's a lot of education around that. But it's really challenging for someone to be out about their status because of all those conversations that we have to have, misinformation, and also, like, just people just being really mean about your status as well. I've definitely seen that here, and I've heard from other people here as well who are living with HIV.
When you were first diagnosed at 26, did you have all the information that you have now? Or, I mean, what does it feel like to get that positive diagnosis? And, you know, particularly if... I mean, maybe things are different for people who are 20 in their 20s now. Mm-hmm. But when I was in my 20s, you know, you still thought about HIV as something that could potentially kill you at a very young age. And so, you know, that idea of getting a positive diagnosis might have meant something different than it is today, but maybe not if people don't have that education and awareness.
Yeah, well, I was one of those people who thought I was going to die, like, tomorrow. I had no idea, like, you know, what it was like or what the future was going to hold for me. But I made it a point to educate myself as fast as possible because it's really, you know, it's really stressful to think about dying tomorrow. And then I quickly realized that I could live a normal life and I could go
on. Who told you that? Did you Google it, or did you have medical professionals or counselors who were helpful in that way?
Honestly, my first doctor that I had was the one who really reassured me of that. She just sat me down. She said, she actually was living with HIV and she had been living with it for about 20 years. And she told me, you know, this is not a death sentence. This is nothing like what it was 20, 30 years ago. We have great medication, great resources, and we're learning more, better things every day about how to care for ourselves as positive people.
You now work with GLAM, and GLAM focuses on, as you actually put it on the GLAM website, guys who like guys and mm-hmm. their friends. But HIV isn't and really shouldn't be considered something that only men who sleep with men get. And so how do you make sure that all Vermonters, and particularly young Vermonters, and when we think about transmission and whether it's through intravenous drug use or through sexual interactions, you know, how do you make sure that everybody has the awareness and knowledge about how to protect themselves and the access to resources that GLAM provides, mm-hmm. like safer sex tools and practices and sex education? How do you make sure that everybody has that?
Yeah, so we have a very specific focus because we're through the Department of Health, and that's one of the most affected demographics in Vermont.
What is it? Guys who like guys?
Guys who like guys, yes. but there's other agencies that have other focuses. So there's great syringe access programs in Vermont across the state that really focus on injection drug users, and there's... You know, there's a much smaller population of people who are heterosexual and living with HIV, but they still exist. And I've encountered many people, specifically through the Positive Living Coalition. Many attend the retreat that we do every year. And we have these conversations around this vastly different experience that people have being heterosexual, either or any gender, honestly. There's a lot of transgender people who are living with the virus as well. And we all have different experiences, but that care that we get is all the same. You know, we go through, if you go through the UVM Medical Center, they're very competent, no matter where you're coming from, at getting you linked to, you know, the proper nutrition, proper counseling services, and whatever you need to be a whole and healthy human.
Listeners, we're talking today about living with HIV and living with HIV in Vermont, and we've been spending a little bit of time talking as well about what it's like to be young with an HIV diagnosis, because it turns out that 20% of new diagnoses are in young and emerging adults, and, you know, in some ways they also are getting the least access to care and the least access to resources and education. We've been talking with Johnny Shagnon, but I want to bring David Shine in as well. David Shine is Executive Director of the Vermont Positive Living Coalition. And before we get into further discussion, I think, David, you're going to have to explain. People know of the Vermont People with AIDS Coalition. That's what this organization has been called. You're actually officially, formally announcing your name change this weekend at the Winter is a Drag Ball to the Vermont Positive Living Coalition. Why? Why the name change?
Well, the nature of HIV, AIDS, has really changed. I was in San Francisco in the 80s when what was going on was this gay cancer. And I was involved as a performer and as a kind of straight heterosexual person, watching my friends get sick and die. Mysteriously. And so I made a big show, a big opera with 70 people about the plague in London as a metaphor. And at that point, it was very scary, and there were so many funerals. And the activists who came out of that generation in New York, in San Francisco, in LA, and then spreading into Vermont and everywhere, it was very crucial that they advocated for folks with AIDS, autoimmune deficiency syndrome, and made that okay. Because it was, you know, there was no medical services and there was incredible stigma and it was scary. Now, 30 years later, miraculously, marvelously, and unbelievably to folks who lived through that era, there's retrovirals. You can not have AIDS and be HIV positive. And that's a really big reason for the name change. Folks like Johnny and other younger HIV positive people saying, listen, we have to change our name now because technically speaking, we don't have AIDS. AIDS is HIV third degree infection. And that goes up and down. You know, if you are exposed, you might have AIDS for 6-7 weeks, 2 months, and then as the medications take over, your viral load is really suppressed. And so folks in every organization, I think, in the country have been dealing with, is it time to really change the name and to reflect what's really going on. And so we have younger members of the Vermont Positive Living Coalition, formerly the Vermont People with AIDS Coalition, and they're saying, hey, there's a lot of young folks out there we want to bring in. We're an organization that represents every HIV positive person and the people around them in the state. So we have to go with the times. And we did a lot of research. We asked people. We asked people at the Vermont Department of Health. We asked people from the other agencies. And there's 5 or 6 prominent agencies in this state. And most of the feedback we got was, yeah, it's time. And there were some people who said, we worked so hard to have AIDS accepted, mm-hmm. and we'd rather keep it. But the majority of people and the intention of our organization, to bring in younger HIV-positive people.
Well, on that, I'm curious, Johnny, from your perspective, do you see maybe either a difference in perspective and not a split, but a real difference in perspective among people of David's generation who lived through the 80s and really experienced the total fear of what AIDS was because it was a death sentence versus people your age who you get diagnosed and your first doctor says you can live a normal life with this virus, which is not the message that people were getting in the 80s and early 90s. So do you see a difference in perspective among the older people that David has worked with for 30 years and people of your generation?
Absolutely. And I can really see, like, personally, I can see the perspective that many people are coming from who have been there, who were there when it was really bad back in the 80s and 90s. But as you were saying, now a lot of young people are kind of can be indifferent about HIV because we have things like PrEP And
that's pre-exposure prophylaxis, and it's a medication that you can take if you think you may be exposed to HIV to help prevent yourself from getting the virus at all.
Yeah, well, there's two different things. I think what you were saying is more of PEP. It's post-exposure prophylaxis.
No, pre.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you but go ahead.
Yeah. So there's like things like PrEP, which is a tool that can prevent HIV for people who are at high risk. And also we know that U equals U. So if you're at an undetectable viral load, then you can't transmit the virus. So this new information has really made people less afraid of HIV, which is a good thing. But it also opens up new issues, which is around people thinking that they don't need to use condoms, or they are not necessarily afraid of HIV, so they're not getting tested for HIV. But, you know, the virus is still there. The virus is still pretty much the same. You know, it's changed a bit over the years. But those attitudes are changing and shifting, and people are feeling less risky when they're having unprotected sex, but still opening themselves up to HIV and many other STIs. So we're seeing a huge spike in STIs across the country, especially things like syphilis, chlamydia, gonorrhea, you know, those things. So I highly recommend people to really just have a routine of getting tested every 3 to 6 months, even if you're not concerned. I think anyone who's sexually active adult should be tested every 3 to 6 months. And even if you don't think, if you're not afraid of it, if you don't see any symptoms, you know, any of that kind of stuff, you should be just getting in that routine. So I highly recommend that to any adult.
I want to come back and talk about PrEP and PEP, because as I was telling you before the show, Johnny, this is something that we've talked before on the show about PrEP, the pre-exposure prophylactic treatment, but PEP is something that was new to me, and maybe you can describe the differences, because that question of pre-exposure versus if you think you've been exposed, this ability to be able to use PEP.
Yes. So PEP is post-exposure prophylaxis. If you think you've been exposed to HIV, then you can access this drug, which is, it actually is used to treat HIV, but they have a special concoction that they give you at the emergency room that you have to access within 72 hours of an exposure. So if you think you've been exposed to HIV, then you can go to your closest emergency shelter, go to your closest emergency room, or seek out your closest HIV service organization, like Vermont Cares or the Pride Center of Vermont or Southern AIDS Project of Vermont, and get access to this drug. But it is very time sensitive. You have to get on it within 72 hours of exposure. So that's post-exposure, PEP.
Let's go to Chris, who's calling in from Dummerston. Hi, Chris. Go right ahead.
Hi. I have a number of friends living in Vermont who are living with HIV and AIDS, and have it at undetectable levels and are taking medication. But I was really, my ears perked up when your first guest was mentioning as long as the medication is being taken, because I know for my friends especially, though they are getting support, for example, through the Southern Vermont AIDS Network and things like that, they are incredibly expensive drugs. And I know, for example, one friend of mine, the pharmacy won't even stock it because it's so expensive. In other words, their return on investment actually makes it prohibitive for them to even stock this medication, which, of course, gets into a larger conversation about medical affordability and so on. But I just wanted to put that in there. That's a very big if that I think scares a lot of people whose health depends on maintaining a status quo at the current moment with political funding and grants and so on. So I just wanted to put that in there.
Chris, I'm glad you brought it up. And Johnny, I'm going to start with you. And then David, I want to get your perspective on this as well. So Johnny Shagnon, you have to take medication to make sure that your viral load is suppressed and that you can live a healthy life. So how do you find the ability to have good health insurance? How do you make sure that you can actually take your medication as prescribed? And, you know, Chris is saying for some of his friends, it's a real concern, a real worry. And certainly it is for people who have not great health insurance.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to first start off saying that I'm in a very privileged position because I'm actually in a medical study right now for one of the newer HIV drugs, which is an injectable. So I get injections once a month instead of taking a daily pill. I elected to do that because I'm really bad at taking pills every day, which is another barrier as well. Sometimes people can forget to take pills, or if you lose your pills, or if you know the expense is prohibitive. So that in itself, like there are medical studies out there right now for this new medication that you can get enrolled in to get this injectable, and it's completely free for me. So that's where wow. I'm at. As for the drugs themselves, I think, David, you were going to say a little bit about drug prices as well. So because I don't necessarily work with the insurance piece of HIV medication.
Yeah. Well, David, let's turn to you. I mean, according to Vermont statistics, about 83% of Vermonters who are living with a diagnosed HIV infection have viral suppression. You know, they're maintaining the virus through these antiretrovirals and have undetectable levels in the bloodstream. And as we've talked about, run a far, far lower risk of transmitting the virus. But not everybody. I mean, 83% is certainly not everybody. And as Chris brings up the point that actually making sure that you have access to your medication is a big deal for many people.
Well, there are many agencies. I think Dummerston's in Southern Vermont. So the AIDS Project of Southern Vermont is right there in Brattleboro. And the Vermont Department of Health is here. Vermont Cares is here, the Pride Center. If anyone is having, who's HIV positive or at risk, having problems with insurance, negotiating pharmacies, get in touch with one of those organizations. And you can go right directly to the Vermont Department of Health Infectious Disease Department. They are dedicated, resolute, that everyone will get affordable treatment.
And do you find that to be true among your members, that that is what people are finding?
Yes, I do. I mean, we have maybe 80 or 90 people at our retreat every year, so that's a good portion of the HIV-positive people. And we discuss a lot about medications and insurance and things like that. And we haven't heard so much that we can't afford treatment. It's just, that treatment is not working. What do I do? I'm having a reaction to that treatment. And or someone saying, like, I'm really scared of this. And you go, like, hey, go to VDH, go to Vermont Cares. Every caseworker will link you up to affordable treatment in this state.
Is this state doing better than other states in terms of making sure that people have access to medication?
Well, I don't have that stat, but our stats as the best, having the best viral load suppression, it's like 88 of the people. In fact, some it's in the high 80s. I think that speaks for itself that people are, if they're in the circle of care and if they are seeking care, it's here. And in the most remote parts of the state, it's a little harder. But in St. Johnsbury, Vermont Cares is, Newport, you can find it. Or you can call us. Our job as a Vermont Positive Living Coalition is to link everybody in the state who's HIV positive. And outside of Burlington, the Twin States Network is mostly women who are HIV positive. The HIV hepatitis organization in Lebanon, New Hampshire, has a more diverse population. And so we have women, straight men, straight women, and we will link to resources. But if you got a question, you could go right to Vermont Department of Health, Infectious Diseases, and they are just resolute about reducing viral load and eventually getting finding the cure.
Do you find from people who you talk to who have the virus and are on antiretrovirals that the reactions are a problem for people, or is the medication certainly better now than it was in the past? But you know, how about living with the medication and the effects of medication?
I wish you could talk to some of our members who've been HIV positive since 1984 and what their journey has been with medications, with reactions, with medication-induced diseases and, you know, immunization suppression, and what their rock and roll has been over 40 years. People are doing better. Now, you might not take three pills a day. You might take one. That's a big focus of VDH and everybody. Or now with PrEP or injections coming in. This is an incredible changing world of science and medicine. And you know, I can't speak for 100%, and somebody might call in and say, yeah, they wouldn't serve me or this. And I would say, talk to the folks at VDH. And, you know, or
VDH,
call,
the
or,
Vermont Department of Health.
Yeah, or call us up at 227-5754 in Montpelier, and we will link you to care and try to solve your problem for you and be your advocate. That's what we do.
Johnny, how about you? Do you find that you react to the medication?
You know, honestly, I've never seen a side effect. Like when I first started my medication, it was Complera in 2013, and I lost like 10 pounds, which I thought was a good side effect. But other than that, I really haven't seen anything. And now with the injections, which I've been on for 2 years, there's, you know, pain when I first get the injections because it's intramuscular. But really, I haven't seen anything. I honestly almost forget that I'm HIV positive because I don't live with those side effects that were present like 20, 30 years ago. And like what David was saying, you know, there's some people who've been positive since the early 80s. And it was so different back then when it came to medication. There were so many side effects. And a lot of people think that's what they're facing now if they get an HIV diagnosis, but that's not it. Most people I know don't have any kind of side effects, and everyone's different. You know, the medication is different for different people, how your body accepts it. But in reality, it's just so it's I really haven't seen anything in the past 6 years of being positive.
Well, speaking of being positive, I want to talk about the Winter is a Drag Ball, which is coming up this weekend. And it is a benefit for the Vermont Positive Living Coalition. This is the 25th annual Winter is a Drag Ball. David, can you tell people who have not experienced it what they might expect if they go?
Well, first, I have to say that the House of LeMay, the veteran drag queens of Vermont, have been doing this as a benefit for HIV-positive people for 25 years. They are one of the reasons for our existence. And over 25 years, they've raised maybe $230,000 for HIV-positive people. So aside from the fact that the Winter is a Drag Ball is an incredible party, the House of LeMay deserves everyone's thanks. They're leading the way for, like, drag queen philanthropy.
We were hoping to have Bob Bolliard on the show today. He's one of the founding members of the House of LeMay and wasn't able to join us to talk about the Winter is a Drag Ball. So, David, you're stepping in and to Bob's big shoes.
Yeah, and
high heels.
He's got 25 years, and I'm like 3 years into this job and 10 years back in Vermont. So the history of the 90s and what the House of LeMay has done for HIV-positive people, it just deserves, we cannot thank them enough. And the Drag Ball is an incredible party. I mean, there's two stages. Everybody comes in costume. It's been a tradition for 25 years. So you can be gay, you can be straight, you can be an alien from outer space and come to the Drag Ball in your costume, dance, enjoy the libations and drive safely. But there's two stages, DJs, things going on. There's five different costume contests and prizes, and it's probably one of the biggest parties of the year. You know, there's you know, the South End Art Hop and the Drag Ball. They're kind of the big parties these days.
At least in the Chittenden County area.
Chittenden County, but the Drag Ball is so much fun. I'm lucky that I'm working, right, and I get to go.
What will you be wearing?
I don't know. I have this strange construction construction worker drag costume with some really beautiful Valentine panties, and I put it together. I'm a performer, and I did a show from Outcomes Butch, but maybe I will do something new this year. But another thing I want to say is that we couldn't do it without the House of LeMay completely, and we have wonderful sponsors, and I don't know if I'm allowed to mention them.
We can also put a link up at vpr.org, too, for people who want to attend.
Cheese and Wine Traders, Audi South Burlington, Alchemist Brewery, Tito's, Planned Parenthood, Vermont Cares, Vermont Pride and Glamour, Vermont Glam as a representative of Vermont Pride. I've probably forgotten somebody, so don't get mad.
No, we won't get mad. Johnny, are you going to be there this weekend, too? Oh.
You know, I won't be there, but my alter ego, Giardia B, will be there.
Oh. So and what will Giardia B be wearing?
I have a couple different outfits that I'll be changing throughout the
night. You mean Giardia does?
Yes. Giardia does, yes.
And I just want to say something about the renaissance of drag queen shows happening in Vermont, of which Giardia is part, And there's a whole new crop that the House of LeMay kind of led the way. And now there's a whole new generation. And this is an old tradition, drag queens, an old theatrical tradition. And as a theater person, I'm so glad to see it come up. These folks are so talented, and they're going to go far.
Well, I also, you know, to make a plug for our own show, I wanted to point you listeners to a program that we did not so far back about the ways that drag performers in Vermont are both genre and gender bending. And so it's a really interesting performative space. And we'll put a link to that show right with this show today, too, because we talked with some great drag performers about how they're reinterpreting ideas around gender and the drag genre within the performance space. That was just fascinating to listen to. I want to thank both of you for being with us today. David Shine is executive director of the Vermont Positive Living Coalition, and Johnny Shagnon is the health and wellness coordinator for GLAM Vermont. GLAM, again, is a Pride Center of Vermont program, and it works with gay, bi, and trans guys and offers HIV resources and education. Johnny also serves on the board of the Vermont Positive Living Coalition, which is officially changing its name this Saturday night at the Winter is a Drag Ball. And we have links to all of this information as well as how you can get tickets at vpr.org. Johnny and David, thank you very much for talking about HIV with us today. I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.